Hallelujah. Praise God. Now this morning, let's just pray for a bit of time. I've got a message I want to share, but I just want to pray for a moment because God's been speaking to my heart about something as well. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. The right arm, somebody's got a problem in your right arm? Listening to me? Come on. The right arm? Are you responding, Ulu? Okay. Praise the Lord. Russell, come here. Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Good. I'm glad God knows about it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father. Lift up the hands that hang down. So, Father, this morning, we lay hands on Ulu. Thank you, Father, for bringing that to our attention. And we command and declare, according to your word, Job 22:28, that this right arm, the discomfort, everything about it is now healed. Perfectly in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you all the praise. Father, we thank you for Ulu. We thank you for his commitment. We thank you for the time that he puts in. Father, what he does for us as a family and as a church. And Father, we call him blessed abundantly. We call him highly favored. We call him, Father, that in his occupation, there will be much blessing in the name of Jesus, and we declare it to be so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to obey the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about whether you know it or not, you're in a fight. Some of us have been in fights over the years. I've been in a few fights in my time as a policeman and as a bouncer and all of that. And I've had a few fights with my mother-in-law over the years too. Never got to fisticuffs, but we had arguments. And Elizabeth, she's smiling. She remembers some of those times. It's difficult, you know, when you got a mother-in-law who's an outgoing, decisive person, can make decisions and so forth, and then you know, every time I'd make a decision to do something, she'd decide she wanted to do something else. And it was just, anyway, it all came to a head one time when God said, I want you to apologize to your mother-in-law. And I thought, pardon? So I went and apologized to her and everything changed. It must have been me, but everything worked out good anyway. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, if you were here last week, you'll remember Ulu talked about Jeremiah the prophet. And he told a little bit about Jeremiah, how God had spoken to Jeremiah and told him that before he was formed in his mother's womb, that God had already called him to be a prophet for the nations. And Ulu made this point, and it hit me and it stuck with me, and it was this, that God plans your ending first and then he starts it. And think about that. God plans your ending first, and then he starts it. Think about that for a moment. He has already planned your life out, Mark. He's planned the end of it all the way through. But then he goes back to base one and starts to create you to fulfill what he's already made you for. But, you know, every one of us have a great opportunity in God. And when God made Adam in the garden, he made him to be master on this earth. And you know, I believe God spoke to all of creation and told all of creation, you will bow to the master of the earth. But you know, the master of the earth gave it away. He bowed the knee to Satan. And instead of being a king and priest on this planet and the child of the Most High God, he became subservient to the devil. He became less than what God planned him to be. God planned that he would walk on this earth. He'd rule on this earth. and there would be perfect peace. Everything would be harmony. But because our grandfather Adam gave it all away, we've had problems and difficulties ever since. But you know, along the course of time, man has tried to create, I guess, a utopia for himself. But you've probably discovered already that you can't forgive your own sins. Man can't forgive his own sins, and you come to a place where you need help. All of us need help. People have tried to recreate the Garden of Eden in their particular lifestyle, but very soon you discover that things like jealousy and greed and murder and all of these terrible things begin to happen, and man can't handle it himself, so he needs help. We all need help. Every one of us needs help. But because Adam gave it away, the enemy, the devil, and his demonic hosts tend to follow you and I around. And I don't know if you've discovered this, but if you haven't, you've been asleep. The devil talks to you. He whispers to you. He tries to get you away from the things that God has planned for your life. If you think of all the terrible things that happen in the world, I mean, just even in the last couple of weeks, how many, say, school shootings and things like that in America, and you find that when they question the person who did it, they say, well, the devil told me to do it. And the devil will try to talk you into doing things that you ought not to do. He'll try to get you to a place where you begin to listen to those little whispers, and the next thing you know, you're thinking, well, I'm not so well, perhaps I do have depression, and you start to get down because you listen to all of this. So we need help. We need a Savior. And thank God that Jesus came. And the wonderful thing about it is this, that Jesus met the devil, went straight into his own territory, defeated him, and then he gave the victory to us. But you know, the devil's trying to talk you and I out of the victory. He's trying to talk us out of what God has got us into. But we've got to come to a place where we begin to understand and recognize and acknowledge the good things that God has done for us. We've got to possess and retain what Jesus obtained for us. He obtained divine health for you. You've got to get hold of that. You've got to possess it and retain it. I'm going to say something to you. Listen to this. It might be Friday in your life today, but Sunday's coming. What happened on Good Friday? Crucifixion. What happened on Sunday? Resurrection. You may feel like you're being crucified today, but I got news for you. Your resurrection's just around the corner. It's coming. You're going to rise up. Let me give you some scripture this morning. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, in the New Living, it's going up on the screen for you. I've written it down here. This is what Paul says. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. The scripture tells us that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in the King James Version. We've got to work this out. It's ours, but we've got to know how to hold it, not lose it, keep it working every day in our lives. In another reference I want to read to you this morning is Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. And this is what it says. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Don't let the devil conquer you, but you defeat him. Your goodness will always put him back. Your goodness, your good life, the way you live your life, it will always bring you to that place. Paul is telling us here, don't let evil thinking or actions get the better of you, but you can overcome all of the temptations by doing what is good. What is good? What the Word says. Do what the Word says. And we need to work this out. You need to work this out in yourself. I get the phone calls, as I guess many ministers do. Oh, Pastor, you know, this is happening and that's happening. How do I handle this? But see, if people would be here on Sunday, can I tell you what this is? This is boot camp. This is learning time. Because what you can learn on Sunday morning, you can retain and use through the week when the devil's attacking you. I had a letter from, this is a couple of years ago, from a young person in America. When I say young person, I think it was a teenager, if I remember. And they'd had a situation in their life where they were concerned and they were feeling always like they were being pressured down. And I'd spent half an hour and talked to them on one of my trips over there. And when I shared with them, I shared some scriptures. And I said, in the book of Romans chapter 8, it says, you are more than a conqueror. And then like 2 years later, I get a letter and the letter says, thank you. I remember what you said. I am more than a conqueror. And every time those thoughts and those ideas came to me, I just remembered the Word of God and I began to say it every day. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things in Christ. And they began to realize that God had called them for a special purpose. And their special purpose was to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So you work these things out. You become what God wants you to be. But you do it by standing on the Word of God. You spend time in the Word of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. You allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. But if you don't do the homework, if you won't spend the time, then when the problem comes up, you're not going to know what to do about it. You need to come to that place. Now, I want you to realize this today. You can't get any more saved than you are saved right now. But you can get more victory in your life day by day if you do what the book says. We need to spend more time. Let me go to another one. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 4. It says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Do you remember I said earlier, but man tries to create his own utopia and the Garden of Eden, but very soon because of his influence, then all of these human desires come out and murder. All of these things begin to happen. Verse 5. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and with moral excellence, knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness with affection for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of You're our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10 says, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. You see, you add all of these things to your faith. Now, Russell has been in the reserve. Was the reserves you were in? If you've perhaps been in the army, and myself, when I was a policeman, one of the things that a soldier will be able to tell you is this. If you know where the attack is coming from, it makes it easier to deal with. If you know the direction or the way that it's coming, You can come to that place where you put on the armor. Now, do you remember Naomi said, I think it was last Sunday, she talked about your shield and buckler. And she explained that the buckler is armor, but it's armor that covers the front, covers the sides, covers the back. In other words, you're just surrounded by this armor. You're protected on all sides. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. Now, unfortunately, many Christians don't have on the whole armor. They have on some of it. They may have the helmet of salvation. They may even have the shield of faith. But when you read through Ephesians chapter 6 and you get down to verse 18, you'll find it says this, praying on all occasions in the Spirit. Speaking in tongues, kaboroshinimos, is part of the armor. You need to be able to speak fluently in tongues, otherwise you haven't got the armor off. Let me read another one to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 to 14, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what we're talking about. Fight the good fight of faith, for a true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life, to that which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus comes again. Here is Timothy being told, use what God has given you, put on the armor of God, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if you remember, Jesus made a statement in John 8. He said this, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So to be a disciple, then, we have to be a person of God. We have to put on the armor. We have to be all that God wants us to be. And we do that by abiding in the word. Now, I just said to you a moment ago, a soldier, if he knows where the enemy is coming from or what direction the bullets or whatever is coming from, then you're able to defend yourself by putting on the armor. But there are four areas that I want to talk to you about this morning where the devil will attack you. Four specific areas. And the first one is this. It's in what you hear. So what are you listening to? Romans 10, 17. Faith what? Comes by what? Hearing what? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith doesn't come by hearing the 6 o'clock news. See, you need to control what you allow into your ears. It is so important that you allow the word of God. See, you can't listen to and let come in through your ear gates rubbish information. And then when you have a difficulty or a problem and you need faith, rubbish doesn't produce faith. I'm going to say it again because I don't think you really understood that. If you listen to garbage and rubbish all the time, when you need faith, it won't be there. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by hearing the news. Faith doesn't come by watching the latest movie. Faith doesn't come by those things. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And listen, the more you allow in of the world and the more you align yourself with what the world is saying, you begin to repeat those things. You begin to say what the world is saying. It becomes part of your conversation. You need to get the CDs that we provide here. And everybody must have loved Ulu's last week because there's only one or two left. They're almost all gone. But you need to get those CDs and put them in your car and listen to them. You need to watch good DVDs, Christian DVDs. You need to fill yourself up with the Word. Don't take on and take in the rubbish of the world. Take in the wealth of the Word. The things that God has for you here, they're just so wonderful. You need to fill yourself up with them. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the first area the devil attacks is what you hear. The second area he will attack you in is what you think. What you think. You see, things happen, and then people think, oh, this is terrible. You got to fill up on the Word, because when you fill up on the Word, you will begin to change what you think. Paul tells us in Romans 12, in verse 2. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Isn't that the same thing as saying, don't let all that rubbish come in through your ears? Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 regarding what we think. Listen to this. He said, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We were talking to someone very recently. If you've been supermarket shopping, if you happen to be a Woolies fan, you will have discovered that they're no longer giving out the single-use plastic bags. They're now being withdrawn. And of course, Woolies have done a backflip. They're now giving out reusable plastic bags until the end of this month, so you can still get the reusable ones. But the single-use ones, which people use for their garbage, I guess, they're no longer going to be available. So there's a whole area of industry that's going to be gone, by the way. But in the course of conversation, we discovered that this person was being told that there's going to be no more plastic bags, single-use ones available. And the person said, well, why is that? The response was, oh, well, it's bad for the environment. You know, the bags get in the rivers and they get in the sea and, you know, they get in the landfill and they never, ever disintegrate. They just clog everything up. And this person's response was, well, I don't care about the environment. I want my plastic bags. See, you have to see beyond and rethink some of these things through. I mean, I can remember when we used to get paper bags in the shops. Why don't they use paper bags? Have to cut down the trees. Okay, so it's a vicious circle, I guess. All right, let's read another one. That's just a by the way. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. John's saying this. He says, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us in whatever we ask for, when we ask for anything, it pleases him. And since we know that he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Now, the Amplified Bible in that verse says, we have as our present possessions the petitions we've made of him. In other words, we have as our present possessions right now. You have to change your way of thinking to realize that you already have the healing. See, we struggle with this, but how can I have the healing when I'm sick? Your body might be sick, but the healing starts on the inside. It starts in your spirit, and it begins to work out. But while you keep on saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, that's not coming out. You have to take what God says. You accept the word of God. God's word says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed. So therefore, you start saying what God says. When you start to do that, things change. I was reading some things recently. And it's interesting when you read what other people write. I'm an avid reader. I read a lot of material. And every day, I get, on average, 30 or 40 newsletters from other ministries. I mean, we send them out too, but I also get them coming in from other ministries. And there's a common theme in most of them. And most of them would say something, well, when you hope for something, that means you've got a confidence that what you're hoping for is actually going to happen, and that's what faith is. That's what faith is. So we can confidently say that faith is the substance of the thing that you desire, the thing that you're hoping for, the thing that you want. But we need to spend time in this book. We need to be saying what this book says. We need to renew our thinking. We need to think word rather than thinking problems. Let me read one more to you. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, this was God's instruction to Joshua, and I think it's a real key to living successfully. Joshua 1, 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you go to the doctors or the surgeon or whatever, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I've told you that the devil will attack you in what you hear. I've told you he will attack you in what you think. The third area is he will attack you in what you speak, what comes out of your mouth. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What is coming out of your mouth? Is it Bible or is it, "I've got this pain, I've got this condition"? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, is what the King James says. Proverbs 18:21, which we've used so many times, "The tongue can bring death or life, for those who love to talk will reap its consequences." Life and death are in the power of your tongue and my tongue. Do you know what the Living Bible for that verse says? Men have died for saying the wrong thing. Think about that. Men have died for saying the wrong thing. Now, when we prayed for Ulu a little while ago there, I quoted a scripture from Job 22. With Job 22 and 28. And it says, "You will declare a thing, and it will be established unto you." "Oh, Pastor, I'm not so well today. I've got the flu. I've got..." "You shall declare a thing, and it will be established." See, it's actually easier to declare the good and declare the health. Now, every time I meet Peter Zuhl, who's sitting over here, you know him, he's got white hair. Well, he's got some white hair. Peter comes in through the door, and I'll say, "Peter, how are you?" He said, "I'm good, I'm not sick, I'm well, I never get sick." That's his confession all the time. Guess what? There he is, smiling. That's his confession. See, what are you saying? "You shall declare a thing, and it'll be established." See, you need to say what God says about you. You need to believe it in your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So he will attack you in what you speak. Now listen to John 6 and 63. These are the words of Jesus. John 6 and 63. He says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Interesting verse that. There's a lot in it. "The words I've spoken, they are spirit and they are life." This world that you and I live in today was created by the words that God spoke out of his mouth. You and I were created in his image. So that means you have been given authority to operate in faith-filled words and see things happen. Now, Elizabeth and I, we've been in the ministry a very long time, best part of 50 years, and we've been to a lot of meetings over those years. We've spoken at a lot of places and conferences, and the interesting thing that we've discovered, and I'm remembering or thinking about a conference that I did in Queensland Convention. I can't remember all what they titled it. But there were two keynote speakers. I was one, and there was an American man who was the other. So we were the two main speakers. And I would get up and teach the Word of God and just lay it out. And this other speaker, he never came to any of the services I was at. He didn't come to any of them. And And when we went to his meetings and sat in, and most times I'm hearing he's saying something that's the opposite of what I've been saying. And yet I saw him take people aside and speak things over them. Do you know what I'm saying? Speak things over people's lives. Now listen to that verse again. Jesus said, human effort accomplishes nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit in their life. I've got a little tired of ministers purporting to say, this is what God says. And they have words over people. Well, this is what God wants to say to you. And it's like Shazam. So, look, I could just leave this message and take you back into Ezekiel and show you where it says very clearly that when a priest or a minister says something to say, this is what God says, and it's not what God says, I'm going to deal with you. So when somebody lines you up and say, oh, I've got a word for you from the Lord, this is it. If that's not what God says, you and that individual are going to be in trouble. We've had people come to us and say, oh, I'm a prophet. I said, okay, what's going to happen at 12 o'clock tomorrow? I don't know. Then you're not a prophet. If you're what you claim to be, you know what God is doing and what he's going to do tomorrow. I've got off track here, but I'm speaking to somebody. There's too much of it going around today where people are purporting to be representatives of God, but most time what they're doing is they're drawing followers to themselves. So what you speak, the devil will attack in what you speak. Take this in, listen to what I'm saying. Mark 11:23. Mark says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe that it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. So the third area of attack is in what you say. Now let me go to the last one, because I said there was four. The fourth one is what you do. What you hear, what you think, what you say, and what you do. James 1:22 tells us, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Now, can I transliterate that from the Greek language for you? What it really says is, you are stealing the blessings from yourself. If you don't do what God's word says, you're stealing the blessings from yourself. See, the second chapter of James makes a wonderful statement. We haven't put it up here, but it says that faith without corresponding action is dead. See, you could be winning the fight in the first area, what you're hearing. You might even be winning the fight in the second area, what you're thinking. You could be winning this fight in the third area, but what you're speaking. But even if you've got 1, 2, and 3 right and you don't do number 4, waste of time. The devil will run over you. There has to be a corresponding action with what you hear, what you think, and what you say. The corresponding action is you have to do. Now you have to come to a place this morning, folks, where you're not only hearing God's word, renewing your mind, and speaking words of faith, but adding the corresponding actions. Doing what it says. Because when you, now listen to me, when you start to do it, that's when things begin to happen. Do you remember what Mary said when the angel came and said, you're going to have this baby? Do you remember what her words were? Be it unto me according to your word. If you're at the place where this is working, at least in some areas for you, if you can say, be it unto me according to your word, you can come to a place where you can have the miracles. Mary had the miracle virgin birth, but you can have the miracles that you need in your life day by day by day. you need to realize you are fighting an already defeated enemy. James says, resist him and he'll flee. He's more afraid of you than you are of him, if you know what the word says. So be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you speak. And be extra careful to do what God says, because if you do that, remember what Ulu said? God plans your ending, then he goes back and starts it. He said that last week. If you haven't got that CD, you want to get a copy of it, because that'll be a blessing to you. He called it the race of faith. So if there's not enough there, we'll print some more. But you want to get a copy of last week's CD. You got what I'm trying to say to you this morning? Now, we've gone down a few sidetracks as well. I've said a few things here and there that you may think, well, what does that mean? I don't always know what God is saying, but he's saying things to individuals and whatever. And so you take what God says, take out of it what you need. If one of the little sidetracks spoke to you, great. If it didn't speak to you, say, okay, God, I'll just wait and hear what else you have to say. So you're more than a conqueror. You can do everything, all things, in Jesus' name. I want you to receive it. Thank you, Russell. Come and finish for us this morning. Thank you.